Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kurup, guten tag, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection prison, kilitary industrial core poor nation, in the post-constitutional cheese-covered bankrupt bribocratic corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, where they sure eat a lot of dead animals. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Very big week here for the king of all vegan media. It's not fair. Howard Stern, the king of all media. Howard Stern jokes about body parts, and he gets paid millions. And I point out what a joke it is for people to eat body parts, and it costs me. Well, it seems like millions over the years to pay radio stations to put this show on the air. I have to raise the money to pay the stations and for my body part jokes and. Holy cow. But anyway, in any case, it's been quite the week here for the king of all vegan media. Yes, this program, recognized by the International Vegetarian Union as the first commercial vegan animal rights program ever, and recognized by the Department of Deutschland Security as, a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. Be careful if you are listening. You may be a danger to society. Handcuff yourself and turn yourself in. If you don't know how to handcuff yourself, you can look for me on YouTube. I was handcuffed and arrested in Beverly Hills last Fur Free Friday. My court date coming up June 8th. I'm here to protect the Constitution for you so you can speak out on whatever silly issue you have. All the world is a stage for our act. I've been getting email after email, phone call after phone call. What are we going to do for Vegan Earth Day this year? Vegan Earth Day. Yes, people are saying it was so much fun last year. We had the participation of Dennis Kucinich with a proclamation in Congress and a wonderful two-hour live satellite telecast, generally so well received across Asia with the Supreme Master TV and the coverage in local LA television, newspaper, and people keep saying, come on, what about this Vegan Earth Day? It was the first day of summer, remember? Day of most light, the longest day. Well, do you know how much energy, how much time, how much money it takes to put together an event like a Vegan Earth Day festival? Over the past few months, I've been checking around a little bit, asking a band or two. The bands fell through, venues fell through. And then I remembered last year a petition from Orange County People for Animals, OCPA. The folks there wrote, yeah, it was a petition saying, we want Vegan Earth Day. We want it to be in Orange County. So I got in touch with them this past week, and Julie Mescal. I spoke to Dina and Dina Corda, and saying, okay, well, look, it's the deadline. If we're going to do anything, check into a venue. And it seems like there's a good possibility we may actually be doing something at Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley, and we're looking at Sunday, June 27th for this year's celebration of Vegan Earth Day, that being the first weekend of summer. And it looks like King Wawa is interested, our friend, the son of Haiti, who has a song out and a new video, Haiti Will Rise Again. He's a vegan. He wants to bring the issue of veganism to Haiti so his country people are healthy there. The rainy season is hitting in Haiti right now, so it's still an emergency situation. I think we're going to wind up collecting blankets and tents and vegan food for King Wawa to ship off to Haiti. So it looks like he wants to be involved with our Vegan Earth Day celebration, which I believe we'll be calling the Southern California Summer Fest. Sunday, June 27th. Pencil it in, please, for Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley. You know, no business like vegan show business with King Wawa. Dr. Antenna Roba coming up on today's program. Dr. Roba, kind of the co-producer with me on our event that we did, which was Soul Food for Thought, our outreach to people of color. I want to talk to Dr. Roba today. He just returned to Africa and is amazed at the sprouting vegan movement throughout Africa, compassion for animals throughout Africa. So he'll update us on that. He was treated like a hero. You know, he's been saving babies. He's been bringing neonatal care to Ethiopia, where it has not been. And so he's treated like the Gandhi figure that he is, saving lives. He just started a horse sanctuary there too. And yes, and the very dedicated life he has to saving animals and people and the planet. You wouldn't know this about Dr. Roba, but on his returned flight from Ethiopia, coming back to the United States, he's an emergency room physician in Houston. He was called upon to save a woman's life on the plane coming back. And, you know, there was our hero after, you know, being treated like Gandhi throughout Ethiopia and guest of honor everywhere, covered with blood and vomit for the whole ride back. As he actually saved another life on the plane. So he is definitely a hero. Why a Vegan Earth Day? Why a Vegan Earth Day, huh? Well, I recall being at many Earth Day events throughout the last few years, and what's for sale there? Barbecue, hot dogs, burgers. So those events do seem like they are a Destroy the Earth Day. And so Dr. Roba recognizes that in Ethiopia, where we see the snow cap is melting, that the riverbeds are dry, the lake beds are dry. Dr. Roba wants to participate in Vegan Earth Day in Orange County on Sunday, June 27th also. So we'll have him there. A lot of great music. Check the website, goveganradio.com. I'll keep updating you on what's going on. But we need a separate day that recognizes the impact of meat and dairy on the environment. And the only way to have an Earth Day is for it to be a Vegan Earth Day. So we've designated the beginning of summer, the first day of summer. We have all these green festivals that promote eating eggs to children, eating cow ice cream to children. So these green festivals are the not so green festivals, and so we have to take it into our own hands when we recognize that meat and dairy are responsible for 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. That coming from a World Watch Institute report co-authored by Jeff Anhang. And by the way, Jeff, thank you for your donation to Go Vegan Radio. Look at that, the co-author of the World Watch Institute report on livestock and emissions donates to Go Vegan Radio. What does he know that you don't know? And by the way, thanks also and congratulations to the folks from Vegan World Radio for that program's 8th anniversary. We celebrated this past week. I was a guest on the show again. The folks there very kind enough to call me the godfather of the show, that I inspired them to create the show 8 years ago, which was called Go Vegan Texas then and has now become Vegan World Radio. It was a pleasure to be on that program, and congratulations again to them. Now, there you have a Pacifica radio station, KPFT, Houston, Texas, running an animal rights vegan show for the last 8 years, when we just can't get any exposure on KPFA in Berkeley. We can't get any exposure on KPFK in Southern California, in the Los Angeles area. And it's really shocking, too, because KPFA would have a guest like the very dangerous Liar Keith. Is that how she pronounces her name? My French isn't very good. So Liar Keith, her book Vegetarian Myth, which I believe has a lot of vegetarians miffed. Very, very strange, dangerous book. that KPFA used as a premium. It was, give us a big enough donation, we'll send you a book that can make your family sick, hurt animals, and destroy the environment. And Liar Keith was also a guest on KPFA. I'm sorry, on KPFK. She was called a deep ecologist on KPFK. As deep as the BP oil spill, and just as good for the environment, I would say, too. So, by the way, for those of you who have not consulted with the official ALF website, yes, I have been elected to the position of president of the ALF for a two-year term now, and you can see my inauguration photo right there on the gallery page at the official ALF website. I'm the one with the ski mask over my face. But anyway, so I do want to report, among my main responsibilities as president of ALF, it is my duty to determine who gets a pie in the face over the next 2 years. By the way, I was sworn in after the recent pieing of Liar Keith, that is prior to my administration. All I can say is, please do not pie KPFT Houston. Do not pie KPFT Houston. And as far as KPFA in Berkeley and KPFK in North Hollywood, what flavor? What flavor do you think, huh? What flavor? I don't know. Well, again, congratulations to Vegan World Radio, which did start 8 years ago, as Go Vegan Texas, inspired by Go Vegan with Bob Linden. So I am here, the godfather of that program. And it was a thank you for having me on this past week. I wanted to be scientific. Did I say anything scientific on that show, or was it just a bunch of goofy insults? I did want to talk about the what was going on in the Gulf there. Important fact that I mentioned on the show there, calories of fossil fuel expended to get 1 calorie of protein from beef, 78. Okay, there's my science. Okay, so just want to make sure that we adhere to the journalistic standards that we've set for being on the air on this program for the past 9 years. And talking about journalistic standards, I want to take you before we talk to our guest on today's program. Coming up, we'll talk to Bill Snape, who is the senior counsel for the Center for Biological Diversity. So we are going to go deep into the oil spill also, Dr. Antenna Roba coming up. But I just want to get you up to speed. So you did see the testimony this past week by the three oil companies, right? Right? Well, here, in case you missed it.
If it please the court, Your Honor, at this time I would like to introduce my three main witnesses, Howard, Fine, and Howard. They were here a minute ago. Will you pardon me, Your Honor? I'll be right back.
Hey, what's the idea of spoiling the game?
I was for onesies.
Well, here's twosies.
Oh!
He was for onesies? You get him to...
Here's fivesies.
Gentlemen, don't you realize Miss Gail Tempest's life is at stake?
Oh, Gail,
he's asking you if you'll swear to tell the truth.
Truth is stranger than fiction, Judgy Wudgy.
Okay, so Bill Snape will be coming up. He'll set us straight on the reality of the situation. And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Remember, listener-supported. We are not supported. We get no advertising dollars from the big oil companies. Nope, we haven't. We haven't seen any donations from Halliburton. We depend upon you. You can donate online at goveganradio.com or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147.
Kombucha, a probiotic powerhouse packed with antioxidants, live-active enzymes, amino acids, and so much more. Vegan, organic, raw, never pasteurized. GT's 100% kombucha and Synergy kombucha with 5% juice. Great instead of coffee in the morning or before a workout. Sip throughout the day for sustained energy. Learn more about the benefits of kombucha at synergydrinks.com. Visit the refrigerated section of your natural foods market for GT's kombucha. 7 varieties, including the new botanicals, 3, 7, and 9. 10 flavorful, fruity choices of Synergy kombucha featuring new superfruits. How did GT's mom combat breast cancer with kombucha? Read about it at synergydrinks.com. Try it today. GT's kombucha and Synergy. One of the great dining delights in all of Southern California is Vegetable Delight Restaurant in Granada Hills. Over the centuries, Buddhist monks have perfected the art of replicating tastes and textures of meat and seafood. Dishes using such ingredients as tofu, mushrooms, gluten, yam paste. The LA Times Review calls Vegetable Delight a special delight, and the food astounding. 17823 Chatsworth Street near White Oak, Granada Hills. Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 to 9:30. Vegetable Delight Restaurant. Dine in or take out. 818-360-3997. Based on the latest satellite data, NASA climate scientists predict nearly all ice could be gone from the Arctic Ocean by the end of summer 2012. NASA scientist James Hansen said, "We have passed tipping points. We have not passed the point of no return. It's going to require a quick turn in direction." For more urgent details on saving our planet, going vegan and green, visit suprememastertv.com. That's suprememastertv.com. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A total treat. No meat in San Jose. Oh, one of the true West Coast dining treasures. Vegetarian House. Vegan organic cuisine at 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. Amazing appetizers, soups, and entrees. Asian delicacies, Western specialties, organic juices, coffee, cake, desserts. A chai tea on weekends that's an experience in itself. As all items on the menu are. Vegetarian House. 520 East Santa Clara Street. Call 408-292-3798.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and of course, as you know, we're on the air 9 years now. We have to purchase the airtime. You can make a tax-deductible donation so we can make that payment and support Progressive Talk Radio also. Your donation is tax-deductible at goveganradio.com. You can also make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And we are in mourning now. The devastation in the Gulf, what can be more sad than this? And so I, you know, after, what can be more sad? It's almost a comedy when you consider the Three Stooges testifying in front of Congress this week, everybody pointing fingers at each other there. Of course, no one's to blame. But let's hear about the suffering and the devastation and really the impact of this most awful environmental disaster in our history. So today we'll talk to Bill Snape. He's centered in Washington, D.C. as the senior counsel for the Center for Biological Diversity, and he coordinates the center's legal and policy work on endangered species and wilderness and energy. And he's a graduate of UCLA, heavily involved with the Marine Mammal Protection Act. He received his law degree from George Washington University and has taught environmental and international law, authoring a book and many articles on natural resource issues, and previously worked with defenders of wildlife before joining the Center for Biological Diversity. So welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Bill Snape, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Bob.
Okay, thanks for being here. And well, tell us about the devastation. Who is suffering? What species are there extinctions? What's going on with this most horrible event?
Well, you aptly described it as a catastrophe, and I don't think we're going to know the full scope of the devastation for another couple weeks, months, or even years. because as I think you and your listeners know, the oil continues to gush out of the blown-up well and the blown-up pipe. So the story is still unfolding. What we are seeing are a couple things, all of which are equally horrible. We're seeing marine mammal strandings, dolphin strandings, and we don't know exactly why yet, but we're suspecting that the massive amount of dispersants that have been put into the water to break down the oil, think turpentine when you're getting paint off your hand, is changing the chemical composition of the water and could be negatively impacting dolphins and sperm whales. We do know that the oil has begun to hit some of the barrier islands and is in some of the salt marshlands. There's a big race going on right now to prevent as much of that as possible, because once the oil is in those salt marshes, it's pretty much all over for those habitats, and that would be important habitats for pelicans, gannets, and other migratory birds. And then lastly, we're seeing sea turtle habitat negatively impacted. Sea turtles already endangered under the Endangered Species Act. We're seeing some nest destruction. And again, unfortunately, I think the worst is yet to come. I guess my last point on the sort of ecology of the oil spill, and I mentioned it in the context of the dispersants, but because Ken Salazar, the Department of Interior head, never did the full environmental review for the permitting beforehand, we're now hearing a lot of cockamamie ideas about how to deal with the spill after the fact. The dispersants is one example. So is another example by the governor of Louisiana to literally dig up tons of beach sand and dirt and try to put them around the Louisiana barrier islands, which is sort of compounding a problem already and creating another one. So it really is a mess right now, and it really does demonstrate what happens, A, when you have offshore oil drilling. It's just a bad idea. And B, when you issue those offshore oil drilling permits and you don't really have a game plan for how you're going to deal with this disaster. And we're seeing both of those precepts play themselves out right now.
Okay. We're talking to Bill Snape. He's the senior counsel for the Center for Biological Diversity. And also, we see varying estimates of how much oil is still gushing. I see from a couple of 100,000 gallons a day to millions a day. Do we have any idea of the reality at all?
No, I don't think we do have a true accurate account. I think per day we probably are in the hundreds of thousands. I don't think we're quite in the millions per day, although I'm not sure anyone can say that with assurance. I think cumulatively we're into the millions probably, and several estimates I've seen by government scientists themselves indicate that we have already surpassed the oil from the Exxon Valdez disaster in Alaska 20 years ago. So by all accounts, this is shaping up to be the worst oil spill in American history.
And apparently there was the circumventing of the permitting process also, right?
Yeah, I alluded to that earlier when I was talking about the ecology of the Gulf. This may actually be the number one story, aside from the obvious suffering of animals and habitats and fishermen and other people in that area, is you would expect BP, as outraged as we all are at BP and oil industry's behavior, they were behaving as you would expect an oil company to behave. They were seeking a profit. They were seeking to get as much oil out of the ocean floor as they could, and they aggressively pursued that. I think they need to be held accountable and pay up for all the damage they're going to occur. But it's not as though BP was acting irrationally, at least the way our corporate structure is set up. The entity, however, that completely fell on its face and did not do its job is the Department of Interior. The Department of Interior is headed by Ken Salazar from Colorado, who has been a pro-oil guy from the beginning. One of the agencies under his department, the Mineral Management Service, is the agency in charge of issuing permits and leases and doing the environmental review of these types of drilling operations. Well, what occurred not only under the Bush administration, we would expect that, but what also occurred under Ken Salazar's watch is that these oil companies, BP included, were getting what are called categorical exclusions. They were getting regulatory shortcuts where the agency literally would rubber stamp BP's permitting plans. And that's exactly what happened with the well and rig that blew up. They had received a categorical exclusion. Now, keep in mind, Salazar, when he came into office, said this was his number one duty. This was the number one thing he was going to clean up was offshore oil leasing. Well, he has failed in that. Perhaps most incredible is that even after the blow-up occurred on Earth Day, ironically, of this year, his agency thereafter issued at least 27 more categorical exclusions. That's after the blow-up. So, you know, all this sort of soothing rhetoric we're hearing from the Department of Interior is belied by their actual actions. And, you know, I don't know what President Obama is going to do about it. I'm not sure what Congress is going to do about it. But I think there needs to be not only an investigation of the oil companies, I think there needs to be an investigation as to what was transpiring at the Department of Interior, because they did not do their job.
So had there actually been an environmental impact study, could anybody have envisioned this? I mean, would this have been a fiction beyond what a study would have even imagined? What do you think? And what do we do now? I mean, they don't have, nobody knows how to close it, it seems, right? So right. What do we do?
Well, those are two excellent questions. Let me answer the first one first, and then your second one is both good and tough. The first question is, what they would have done had there been a full environmental review is get public comment, round up the best of the scientific evidence, take a look at alternatives, again, all in a very transparent, open, participatory way. And that would have, I think, thrown some wrinkles into this idea that everything was going to be fine and, you know, don't worry, be happy, we're just going to drill. That leads me to your second point. And, you know, what do we do now? Well, one thing that we could have been doing is that if we had actually acknowledged these types of spills do occur, and that's what we all have been saying in the environmental community, this is a bad idea, this is a bad idea, there's a reason why Exxon Valdez occurred, there's a reason why we had the Santa Barbara oil spill of 1969. Had the agency actually taken seriously the idea that these spills could occur, well, we wouldn't be running around with our heads chopped off the way we are now and coming up with these cockamamie proposals du jour to try to pick up the oil. We actually would have had a mitigation and remediation plan in place. We did not have that in place.
Well,
and I guess the last thing I'll say, which covers both your questions, actually, on sort of what the governmental review process yields and what's the point of it and what do we get out of it, is in other countries, on these type of deep water drills, you have to keep in mind, this edifice that BP was drilling was 2 miles beneath the ocean surface. The amount of pressure is incredible. Any deep sea divers in your audience know that, that's very different than onshore drilling. And in countries like Brazil, Australia, other countries, they have what's called an acoustic safety device that kicks on a shutdown of the well and of the rig and of the drilling apparatus when there is a problem. And BP had convinced the Department of Interior that they didn't need this acoustic device, this safety device. And not only was that obviously a boneheaded decision by Ken Salazar's agency, had there been a full environmental review, that's exactly the type of issue that could have been brought to fore and could have changed the way the process is normally supposed to work.
But don't worry, be happy. Obama said offshore drilling is safe, drill baby drill, just a few weeks ago. So why are we worried at all, really, huh? What do we do about the new land, the new ocean that's being opened up to drilling, right? In the Atlantic and up in Alaska, right? The areas are being opened.
Exactly right. Yeah. If this type of spill occurs in the Arctic, it's lights out party completely over. We would have zero capability of cleaning up a spill even half the size of this in the Arctic. Weather conditions, ice, visibility problems, and we'd be talking about the end of an ecosystem that modulates weather for the entire planet. So, yeah, Obama really, I think, needs to take what was a mistake, take a step back, and demonstrate true leadership and get a grasp on what type of cockamamie things are occurring at the Department of Interior and to rethink his agenda. You know what's going to happen next after offshore drilling is we're going to be told nukes are safe. Don't worry. Three Mile Island was just an aberration. Chernobyl, oh, that was the commies. Well, the reality is nuclear power has a lot of the same safety issues. And, of course, there's the age-old question of what you do with the nuclear waste once you have it. So I think finally maybe the silver lining in this absolute disaster is that it will force the American people to wake up and to take notice that these types of issues are not just the province of the quote-unquote experts, but that actually we need to demand clean energy, and we need to demand it now.
Yeah, I think we need to have a say aside from just the oil companies. We've been talking to Bill Snape. He's the senior counsel for the Center for Biological Diversity. The website is biologicaldiversity.org. We maybe have a minute and a half if I go down your action alerts. In that short time we have, what about frogs? Let's see, we have to come to their defense. Can we get a quick word in on their behalf?
Bob, thanks so much for talking about the frogs. The frogs, as some of your viewers may know and as you might know, are all over the world declining. Scientists aren't exactly sure why yet. Some have hypothesized it was because of the decrease in the upper ozone, that, you know, the same problem that gives us skin cancer as humans. But the most commonly recognized problem facing frogs is that they are decimated by pesticides, agricultural pesticides, pesticides that some people continue to put in their own lawn. And so what we're doing at the Center for Biological Diversity is putting the pressure on EPA to radically decrease the amount of pesticides that are registered on the market, to have these pesticides fully tested, to take the harmful pesticides off the market, and to eventually have a sustainable form of agriculture and yard care that does not have the pesticides that are bad for humans as well. They get into the water supply, there's runoff. But that appears to be what is harming the frogs right now. And, of course, for all species, frogs, birds, bears, ungulates, the big cats.
Thanks, Bill. We're just about out of time. I appreciate that. Again, it's biologicaldiversity.org on that subject matter. Thanks for being with us today on Go Vegan.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, an oasis in Oakland for 14 years, invites you to enjoy its weekday vegan lunch buffet, 11 a.m. to 2:30, affordably priced from just $5.50 to $7.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, 1301 Franklin Street, downtown Oakland, specializing in vegan Vietnamese cuisine. Try the sautéed garlic vegan beef, the gourmet lemongrass vegan chicken. See the extensive menu at goldenlotusvegie.com, goldenlotusvege.com. For dessert, vegan mocha cake, vegan cheesecake, pumpkin cake, cupcakes, 100% vegan, no MSG, fresh every day. Lunch buffet weekdays, 11 to 2:30, starting at just $5.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian, Franklin at 13th in Oakland, 510-893-0383. Golden Lotus Vegetarian. How now, no cow? Get hip to the strip. Primal Strips, the delicious, high-energy, high-protein, meatless snack from Primal Spirit Foods. When you're on the go, go with Primal Strips, the meatless meat alternative that even non-vegans love. Primal Strips have become a favorite with bicyclists, climbers, and outdoor enthusiasts. 100% vegan and kosher, no cholesterol, no GMOs, preservatives, or artificial colors. Voted best new vegetarian snack by Veg News. Primal Strips, six phenomenal flavors: Thai peanut, mesquite lime, teriyaki, hot and spicy, hickory smoked, Texas barbecue. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com. Visit your natural food store for Primal Strips. Surprising news for vegans, the vast majority of wines available worldwide are neither vegan nor organic. Generally, conventional wines use animal-derived ingredients like egg or gelatin in their processing. Ooh. And conventional wines are made from, well, conventional grapes, using chemical pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers. Ooh, again. Bad for the environment, bad for the animals, bad for you. What can a vegan wine lover do?
Join Bob Linden's Vegan Organic Wine Club. Explore the world of fine wines that are guaranteed vegan and produced using certified organic grapes. You'll taste the difference and feel good that you're making the responsible environmental choice as you drink responsibly. Three wonderful bottles of fine vegan organic wine will be shipped to your home or office for you to enjoy on a bi-monthly basis for just $49.95 plus shipping every other month. Your quality wines will be sent to you by the Organic Wine Company, pioneers in organic vegan wines and the first to import organic French wine into the United States. The Bob Linden Vegan Organic Wine Club, available on the homepage at goveganradio.com. Click on the wine glass at goveganradio.com.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener-supported, media, animal liberation, infiltration, on the air now for 9 years. And we do have to pay for the airtime each and every week, so please help us do so. You also support Progressive Talk Radio, so you can make your donation online. It's tax-deductible at goveganradio.com. Also, make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. But we don't want to send you money, Go Vegan Radio. You care more about animals than you do people. That's what somebody might say to my next very special guest, Dr. Antenna Roba, who is the founder and president of the International Fund for Africa. When they see how much work he has done for animals in Africa and here, but if they say that to Dr. Roba, look out, because he was just back there and being honored for the work that he's done saving human babies and for the first time bringing neonatal care to babies in Africa. So, Dr. Roba, I look at the pictures of you and it looks like you're being honored as a king. Look at the regalia, what you're wearing, the ceremonial clothing that people were just so happy with you and honoring you for helping to save the babies.
Yeah, it was incredible. I've never, ever, I've been honored before, given certificates before, even by the Minister of Health for our work with neonatal facilities, but this was special. This was really, really special. I mean, they, like you said, I thought it reminded me of when I used to watch TV when the Emperor Haile Selassie in the 1960s was, being honored somewhere. I'd watch on TV and, he's walking in this wonderful outfits, beautiful, colorful outfits, and everybody is clapping and everybody is excited to be around this incredible being, and that's what I
and it was
like.
For you.
Yeah, it was for me, and I'm like, what did I do to deserve this kind of treatment? I mean, there were children that are holding my hand and serenading me all the way out to where people were standing and clapping, standing ovation and all this stuff, and it was like, it was overwhelming.
Well, it is. People should know that it's because of your organization, the International Fund for Africa, that neonatal equipment has made it to Ethiopia, to some of the hospitals for the first time there, and now babies are being saved who would not have lived previously, and so we see some of those children now who are very happy, who really do owe their lives to you. But why are you being honored? You're somebody who cares about life, who cares about all life. I saw things being written, email streams, and there were some people who were saying, but Dr. Roba, why do you spend so much time on animals? And, you should be caring more about people. And then people were noting that, it's somebody who was in the tradition of a Gandhi, a tradition of the great heroes, who cares about all life. I mean, here you are. You're starting up a horse sanctuary there. You're working on, we have to celebrate. Look, the Ethiopian Vegan Association has started because of you and some very special people back there.
Yes, yes. We first of all, just to mention the hospital, the reason why the hospital treated me the way they did is because it's a maternity hospital that's been around for 55 years, and for 55 years they didn't have a pediatric section, and babies would have to be transferred. If they once they're born, if they're sick, they would have to be transferred to the only other facility that has a very, very weak pediatric section anyway, but they would have to transfer to that facility, and sometimes they'll take them by ambulance, but a lot of times they would either have to walk or take a taxi. And 30%, a study done a year ago by this facility that accepts these babies, they did a study, and a one-year study that showed that over 30% of the babies that were being transferred to their facility would die on the way, and mainly because of hypothermia. They just get colds because their bodies can't handle it. And so these babies were needlessly dying, and the equipment we provided basically eliminates that need to transfer these babies. So 100% of the babies that are there, born there, stay there, and are treated properly and discharged. So basically, mortality has already gone down from 30% down to less than 5%, just from doing this. So I think that's part of the reason why they're so excited, because it's just a palpable change in, you know, the mortality rate that they know will come with this kind of activity.
Yeah, much of your efforts, you're introducing the incubators and the ventilators.
Right.
That's what's had the effect.
Right. And as far as the other things, you know.
People should also know they should donate to the International Fund for Africa. Go to the website ifundafrica.org, because Dr. Roba is involved now with trying to equip a new pediatric unit. There's going to be one entire floor dedicated to neonatal care, and equipment is definitely needed. So donate at the letter ifundafrica.org.
Yeah, and well, you know, when I went to Ethiopia, one of the things I got lucky, you know, I've always wanted to start some kind of a vegan movement in Ethiopia. I know in West Africa they have it, in Nigeria, in Togo, and Ghana, in Benin, and a few other countries. And even East Africa, I found out recently that in Kenya they have it. But I didn't know that there were people in Ethiopia that were interested in veganism. Well, thanks to what's the lady's name? I forgot.
Supreme Master TV. You've been featured on Supreme Master TV. Uh-huh.
Yeah, thanks to Supreme Master TV, they featured me on that television. And what happened is Ethiopians that are vegan that follow her saw me on TV and contacted me. And that's how we connected, and they wanted to start a vegan organization, and we helped them. And when I went to Ethiopia, basically we started the association. We already have all the structure in. We have all the people in. We have our members. We have our logo. We're getting our website done. So now we have an Ethiopian vegan association, and we already have projects that we're planning to implement to make people aware of what needs to be done in Ethiopia. So that was very, very exciting. It made my month, not even my week.
Right. And you're also planning on feeding the homeless vegan food in Ethiopia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're starting a project. We have three projects. The first project is just basically to get the organization up and running, you know, to get the basic stuff that needs some money. And then our second major project is we want to introduce the organization on a wider scale to politicians, parliamentarians in Ethiopia and the capital city, and thousands of NGOs and embassies in the Addis Ababa region. So that's basically our second project. Our third project is going to be setting up something similar to Food Not Bombs here in the United States, where we basically feed homeless people vegan food and to extend that kind of charity to people. And we have many other plans. We are two of the members of the Vegan Association are basically farmers, and they basically they're into mushroom, organic mushroom production. And the president of the organization is going to start a soya, organic soya farm soon. And so we are trying to integrate all that they're doing with a couple of other NGOs and start a big organic movement in Ethiopia. So that's another side of this coin that is just very exciting, because organic, starting an organic farming system in Ethiopia is much needed, because you know the meat industry in Ethiopia is very, very powerful, and the only way people are going to change is if you give them an alternative. And starting an organic vegan food production is going to make things a lot better for people to accept, to change their...
You are involved with making so much happen in Africa, and people should know that Ethiopia is a living model of the ravages of climate change, and the people there are knowing firsthand that there needs to be a change to going vegan now, because the water is drying up, the snow caps are melting, but you are finding so many enthusiastic people, even young children. You say you're finding them there who are enthusiastically writing poems about compassion for animals that you wouldn't expect, right, to find?
Next year I'm taking six veterinary doctors from the United States to train Ethiopian doctors on spay and neutering and surgical procedures. And we're going to a university called University of Jimma, which is in southern Ethiopia. It's about 300 kilometers southwest of the capital city, Addis Ababa. And that's where coffee comes from. And so I went to see the conditions there just to get an idea before I lead the six people team to Ethiopia next year. I just wanted to investigate and see what things were like. And while I was there, I was just completely blown away that they had basically set up a, you know, kind of a celebration, an appreciation of animal welfare, and I was guest of honor for the occasion. And they had students from junior high school and from local high schools who came to this event. There were about 50 of them, and then another 50 students from the veterinary school attended. They had food, they had drinks, and they had, it was basically a celebration and a creation of awareness about animal welfare and how you know people should respect animals and treat them properly. And that basically that was what it was all about. And I participated, and while I'm sitting there listening to these people, young kids, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, got up and you know, read poems in our language and in English, and read, you know, portions of, you know, passages on animal kindness that you read in the Bible and stuff like that. It was just impressive. A teacher got up who said that all his life he's loved animals, that, you know, growing up he used to hide dogs and cats from his parents because they didn't like dogs and cats. And now he wants to extend, you know, this, you know, he wants to show his appreciation and love for animals and teach his students to appreciate and love them too. And so he's got this group, an animal welfare group in his high school that go out to communities and the villages and try to teach people about being kind to animals. So the Club for Animal Welfare and them are getting together to do this.
Okay. You know, we're just about out of time right now. I ask people to go to your website, ifundafrica.org, the letter I, fundafrica.org. Also, we've worked together on a show called Soul Food for Thought, and we want to finance that and get around. That's outreach for people of color. And we're going to work on getting a Vegan Earth Day event happening in Orange County on June 27th. People should check our websites for that. So thanks for being with us today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Dr. Antenna Roba.
Thank you, Bob.
Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House Restaurant, world-class international cuisine at 520 East Santa Clara in downtown San Jose. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Restaurants, now with over 100 locations worldwide. Visit the very first one in North America at 516 Barbara Lane in Milpitas. Also visit the Loving Hut in Palo Alto at 165 University Avenue. For the Loving Hut near you, go to the website lovinghut.us. Celebrate Earth. Celebrate Earth. That's the name of the new CD with Earth-friendly music for children from Recess Music. Featuring the track Ocean Treasure from Renee Smith.
Help me care for our oceans. They belong to you and me. Treasures like this you can't set a price. So please say that together.
Ocean Treasure from Renee Smith on Celebrate Earth from Recess Music. Visit recessmusic.com. If you see the latest news on health, if you hear the latest news on the environment, more and more you know that you are an herbivore. Parents concerned about diabetes, obesity, putting their kids on the road to heart disease and cancer are realizing your child isn't a carnivore. He or she is an herbivore. When we learn that meat and dairy cause 51% of greenhouse gas emissions, cause deforestation, cause drought, now that you know you're an herbivore, what do you eat? Where do you eat? Go and explore. At Herbivore, yes, Herbivore, with three Bay Area locations. Herbivore has an extensive menu of international cuisine that spans the world of healthy, meat-free, dairy-free delight. Herbivore, Best of the Bay Area winner, Veg News Veggie Award winner, breakfast 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch and dinner all day. See the menu at herbivorerestaurant.com. Better yet, get a table and order from it at Herbivore. Three Bay Area locations, 983 Valencia, San Francisco, 531 Divisadero, San Francisco, 2451 Shattuck in Berkeley. HerbivoreRestaurant.com.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and I do encourage you to make a tax-deductible donation at GoVeganRadio.com. You help this radio show, and you help Progressive Talk Radio. And, by the way, after recognizing Go Vegan with Bob Linden as the very first commercial vegan animal rights program ever in commercial media, to regain its credibility, the International Vegetarian Union Council has voted for the 40th International Vegetarian Union World Congress to be held October 2012 in San Francisco, and it will be hosted by the San Francisco Vegetarian Society at the County Fair Building, Golden Gate Park. Congratulations, Dixie May. And again, thank you for listening to the program. Support us. Donate at GoVeganRadio.com. You'll find archives and podcasts and over 200 programs you can hear there. So again, it's GoVeganRadio.com. Hi, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Listen to Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3. We go deep, deep, deep into the devastating disaster in the Gulf with Bill Snape, Senior Counsel for the Center for Biological Diversity. What about those environmental exemptions? And our friend Dr. Antenna Roba of the International Fund for Africa returns from a trip to Ethiopia and tells us about the exciting vegan movement taking root in Africa. What's happening with Vegan Earth Day? It's the first day of summer when everyone on Earth is asked to go vegan for good, to save the Earth. We chose to call it Vegan Earth Day because it sounds so much friendlier than Go Vegan or Die Day, which would be equally appropriate. And all that demand for oil because of meat and dairy, you need a gallon of gasoline to produce a pound of beef, and calories of fossil fuel expended to get 1 calorie of protein from beef, 78. There you have it, a factor of 78 to 1. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden in the Bay Area is made possible by Vegetarian House Restaurant, world-class dining in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara, and Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, now with over 100 worldwide. The very first one in North America, 516 Barber Lane in Milpitas. In Palo Alto, there's one at 165 University Avenue. And don't miss the grand opening of the new Loving Hut in the Westfield Mall in San Francisco at Market and Powell in the Food Emporium. Holy cow, it's this Thursday. Vegan dining in a major mall. That is progress. That's evolution. Celebrate the grand opening of Loving Hut, Westfield Mall, Market and Powell in San Francisco. You are invited this Thursday, May 20th at 11:30 a.m. So I do hope to see you there. But that's this Thursday. You're hungry now? We'll check out the special lunch buffet going on right now at Golden Lotus, 1301 Franklin Street in Oakland, ranging in price from just $5.50 to $7.50. It's every weekday. You have until 2:30 to get there. Golden Lotus, Franklin at 13th in Oakland, 100% vegan restaurant. And vegans who drink wine should know the vast majority of wines sold are not vegan and not grown with organic grapes. What's a vegan who enjoys wine to do? Go to goveganradio.com for our new Vegan Organic Wine Club and click on the wine glass there. And then after you drink your vegan organic wine, see if you can find the donate button at goveganradio.com. And you know, we purchase our airtime every week, and your support also helps Progressive Talk Radio. For archives and podcasts and to donate, please go to goveganradio.com.